Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 197 for the April 2024 solicitations. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items in the upcoming solicitations that you might find interesting. Now, comics are a pre-order business, so whether we like it or not, it behooves us to take a look at what's going to be offered a couple of months out and let our retailers know so they can order appropriately. Now, these episodes have an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips to promote the comics you love as often as you can. Now, there are thousands of items solicited every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle, or just fly beneath your radar. We'll be starting with the DC Connect catalog, followed by the Marvel's Previews catalog, and then working our way through the Diamond Previews catalog. Obviously, we aren't going to go item by item, or page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and those highlights are picked by people like you. So with that, let's get going. My first pick is the pre-order catalogs of DC Connect, Marvel Previews, and Diamond Previews. I find these incredibly helpful to find out what's coming out a few months from now and kind of plan my order appropriately. Sometimes there's stuff that sounds good on paper, but I look at the art, or something about the solicitation doesn't work for me, or there's something that I wouldn't have noticed unless, you know, the art had caught my eye, or the solicitation looks pretty cool, or something like that. Matter of fact, there have been a couple of times where I'll see something and realize I missed the first two issues or something like that, and go order them. So just flipping through these catalogs is kind of my monthly equivalent of the old Sears Toys catalog when I was a kid, of, you know, finding out what cool things were out there to be had and then making sure I got them as best I could. So whether you get the printed catalogs or not, this information is available online at the various websites for the distributors and the publishers and such. Comics are a pre-order business. It makes sense to know what's coming out so you can let your retailer know so they can have it so you can get it. So once again, my first pick is the pre-order catalogs of DC Connect, Marvel Previews, and Diamond Previews.
Hello everyone, this is Jason with my first pick in this month's previews. This is from the DC Connect. It's Batman, Gotham by Gaslight, the Kryptonian Age. So this is the sequel to the original Gotham by Gaslight, which came out several years ago and was a classic and one of the original Elseworld titles and definitely one of my favorite books ever written about Batman. But this one is a new series. It looks like it's going to be a 12-issue miniseries, and it says it's basically the direct sequel. It says, the new era of Elseworlds kicks off with the return of its crown jewel, the mysterious and gothic world originated by Brian Augustine and Mike Mignola. When a mysterious meteor falls in the wide-open plains of the Midwest, it will unleash a chain of events that finds Gotham's bizarre Batman contending with not just the twin threats of the Catwoman and a mysterious international assassin, but also the emergence of superhuman beings beyond all comprehension. This sequel series expands the 19th century DC universe beyond the confines of Gotham City, showcasing bold new visions of once familiar foes. Do not miss it. This one is written by Andy Diggle, and the first issue comes out in June 11th, 2024. So I'm definitely going to give this a shot. The first one was really fun, and I love the idea of Batman in the 1800s, early 1900s. And it kind of is a steampunk world, I would say, not exactly historical world. And so I do look forward to being able to get into this world again and seeing Batman on his next adventure. I'm not too excited about the idea of this being, you know, Superman or Kryptonians, because I think that would really, really, really change things. So we'll see what direction that goes. But if they do bring a Superman or a Kryptonian, I hope they don't make him all powerful, godlike powers like the Superman that we know, but maybe one more like, I think there was one called Superman War of the Worlds, Elseworld book, in which he was highly impervious. He had a high resistance to injury, but he could be hurt and could be injured, and he could not fly, but he could jump and things like that. So we'll see what direction they take it. I'm hoping that they'll have a good, clean story arc and will really flesh out this world of Gotham by Gaslight.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. And my first pick in the DC Comics Connect magazine is on page 2 with Batman, Gotham by Gaslight, the Kryptonian Age, number 1 of a 12-issue miniseries, written by Andy Diggle, with art and main cover by Leandro Fernandez, and this is the cover I'll be getting, variant cover by Kendrick Kunkka Lim, another variant cover by Francesco Mattina, a foil variant cover by Jock, a 1-in-25 variant cover by Jock, a 1-in-50 variant cover by Leandro Fernandez. The cover price of the regular edition is $4.99 for 40 pages and $5.99 for the cardstock variant covers. The foil variant cover is $6.99, and that's also a cardstock cover. And this is scheduled to go on sale on June 11th. The new era of Elseworlds kicks off with the return of its crown jewel, the mysterious and gothic world originated by Brian Augustine and Mike Mignola. When a mysterious meteor falls on the wide-open plains of the Midwest, it will unleash a chain of events that find Gotham's bizarre Batman contending with not just the twin threats of the Catwoman and a mysterious international assassin, but also the emergence of superhuman beings beyond all comprehension. This sequel series expands the 19th century DC Universe beyond the confines of Gotham City, showcasing both bold new visions of once familiar heroes. Do not miss it. And if you're interested in the original Gotham by Gaslight, there is a facsimile edition available on page 3, and that's for $4.99, and the variant covers for $5.99. And I'll be getting a copy of that one also because I gave my original copy to my son-in-law who loved it very much. Now, this is not the first sequel to Gotham by Gaslight. The first one was Batman Master of the Future, also written by Brian Augustine, and featuring the art of the late great Eduardo Barreto. So, if you like reading alternate versions of some of your favorite superheroes, I would recommend you pick up this new miniseries, Batman Gotham by Gaslight, The Kryptonian Age. Plus, the fact that we will probably end up seeing a 19th century version of Superman is something I can't pass up.
Jason again, and speaking of Gotham by Gaslight, there's Batman Gotham by Gaslight, number 1, facsimile edition on page 3 of the DC Connect. This one is the now classic tale of The Dark Knight reimagines Batman in the Gotham City of 1889, where a murderer is on the loose, preying on its citizens, Jack the Ripper. The story that helped usher in DC Elseworlds initiative is reprinted for the first time as a facsimile edition. This one is well worth owning if you've never read it before. I think they do a great job of keeping the Batman character and the Bruce Wayne character consistent with what we knew during that time period. He's literally just set in a different time. And I thought they did a great job with what technology he would have there and the way he would try to solve crimes and things like that. It was a very fun tale, fun story. It's a 48-page book and for $4.99. So it looks like DC is maybe kicking off some new Elseworlds titles. So I certainly look forward to that picking up, and I'm hoping that they will have some good ones coming out in the next several months. But this one is certainly a good one to start off with. If you've never read it, I highly recommend it.
Hey, this is James here with my first pick in the DC Connect. And the first pick I have, I was tempted to point out that Batman Gotham by Gaslight, that they're having a new series. But I flipped the page and I was like, I got to do a clip on this. There are two omnibi that are being solicited. One is the DC vs. Marvel Omnibus on page 4, and then there's a DC vs. Marvel The Amalgam Age Omnibus, number 5. Out of the two, honestly, I think I like the DC vs. Marvel content more, even though the fights were a little bit rigged. You know, one side does this, one side does that. You can't have any universe overpowering the other one because basically they didn't want the DCU or the Marvel universe to appear inferior to the other. You know, it's a sales contest. But I did like it because with Amalgam, you got a mishmash of the characters, mix-ups. Let's take this character, let's smash them together. And next thing you know, you have Captain America running around with a Superman logo on his shield. Just lots of weird things. Oh, you had Storm and Wonder Woman. And just bizarre. It was cool. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people like that. But I like the real characters. So the one that I'm going to do a clip on is DC versus Marvel Omnibus on page 4, written by, I'm going to tell you, there's a whole list of people, like including Jerry Conway, Jim Shooter, Lynn Wein, Chris Claremont, Denny O'Neill, J.M. DeMatteis, Ron Mars, John Byrne, and others. And Ross Andrew, John Buscema, Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, Walter Simonson, Barry Kitson, and John Byrne, and others on art. So there's a lot of artists. The cover on this is by George Perez, who's no longer with us, but it's a beautiful cover. Love it. And it is $150 for 904 pages. If you purchase this through Deep Discount Comics, you will be purchasing it for $75. And the same thing goes with the Amalgam mishmash. You're going to get 1120 pages for $75. The reason I know a lot of you guys do not like to read or like to buy Omnibuy because they're big, they're heavy, not easy to read, not easy to store. But this is one of those things where when Marvel and DC finally collaborate and Marvel basically said, yes, DC, you can publish this stuff because this is being put out by DC. It's not being put out by Marvel. And I'm assuming there'll be some quid pro quo. And in the future, some type of Marvel thing will come out that they need the blessings of DC for. So I'm sure this wasn't done in a vacuum. But if you don't pick this up, it may be 20 years before, 30 years before something like this appears. It's just something that once it's out of print, it is gone. So pick this up. This is your chance. And it says, in 1976, the Big Two in comics made pop culture history by putting their most popular heroes, Superman and the Amazing Spider-Man, against each other. And the success of that led to an intercompany crossover. And I'm not going to tell you everything that's covered in this, but I mean, it has everyone. It has Superman, Spider-Man, which to me was just ridiculous. Wouldn't you want to have the Hulk versus Superman? But I mean, it was the two, let's say, most popular at the time. There's a list of tons and tons of things. I mean, you got everything from Darkseid versus Galactus to Spider-Man and Batman, Green Lantern, Silver Surfer. I mean, it's just a slew of material. This is fun stuff. This is stuff that, just like when George Perez passed away, they came out with that trade paperback. And there was only, I think, 7,000 copies made, which was insane. And people were paying hundreds of dollars for it. And for whatever reason, they printed it before he passed away so that they could hand it to him. Why they did it 7,000, we will never know. This might be your last chance to pick this up. Pick this up, good material. And also, I would recommend picking up the Amalgam because it's something that you probably won't see in print again. And I'm going to pick them up, enjoy them, put them on a bookshelf, read them. And I like omnibus formats anyways. On to my next pick.
Hey guys, it's April, and I'm Chris Brawley, a.k.a. The Brawlinator, and I've got my picks for this month for the solicitations on new comic books coming our way in a few months. My first pick is in DC Connect. It's on page 4. I assume others are talking about this as well. It's a reprint, but it's an omnibus, and man, oh man, I remember when I was first getting into comics and reading Amazing Spider-Man. And there was an ad, a house ad, for this Superman-Spider-Man crossover. And I was young enough just to be held raptured by just this vision of them up in the sky near a radio tower battling. It was drawn by Ross Andrew, who I later found out a lot of people helped touch this thing up, get it to the deadline. This is back in the late 70s, I think, and it fascinated me. I knew that DC and Marvel were different companies and that this was a very big deal for them to cross over. I think the only time before that they had done any kind of co-publishing was for a Wizard of Oz Treasury edition, and this, I think, was a Treasury edition when it first came out, but I don't know how DC Comics and Marvel have managed to do it. I'm glad that they have. I do have, I think, all of this stuff collected in trade paperback, but to have it in omnibus, it's just something I'm very excited about. This is the DC versus Marvel omnibus. Now, Marvel's not talking about this at all, so obviously this is coming from DC. Maybe DC is in worse shape financially than Marvel, that they just had to do something to boost sales, and I hope this does. It all went back to 1976, that Superman versus Amazing Spider-Man, and goes up to a Batman Daredevil crossover, which happened, I think, in 2002 or 3. But this is from creators like Dennis O'Neill, George Perez, Dan Jurgens, Chris Claremont, Walt Simonson, Dave Mateus, Mark Bagley, Jerry Conway, of course, John Romita Jr. And man, just this is like comic book history. It is the DC versus Marvel omnibus, you know, with a great cover right there of Spidey taking on Superman, Batman, and the Hulk, and so on. And I think it's really all here. There were lots of crossovers. And one of the ones that I was wondering that I did not see mentioned in the solicit was this Hulk versus Batman. Wait, there it is. It's DC Special Series number 27. So it's got Superman versus the Amazing Spider-Man number 1, then Marvel Treasury Edition number 28, which is when they went back to that same well with Superman and Spider-Man teaming up, which was great because it was still in continuity and they mentioned their previous meetup. The DC Special Series 27 is the Hulk and Batman. Really one of the best was the X-Men and New Teen Titans. But that's got Batman meets Punisher, The Punisher meets Batman, Darkseid versus Galactus, The Hunger, Spider-Man and Batman number 1, Green Lantern, Silver Surfer, Superman, Batman and Captain America number 1, Daredevil and Batman number 1, Batman and Spider-Man number 1, Superman Fantastic Four number 1, Incredible Hulk versus Superman number 1. That's the one I know a lot of people are waiting on in my comic shop. Batman, Daredevil, King of New York number 1. Along with some essays, some new essays from the original creative teams. It's just going to be chock full. It all started in 1976. All of these have not been collected in one volume, and that's what this is. It's on page 4, and now I'm going to talk about what's on page 5, which sort of carries on this DC Marvel crossover.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here, and I finally found something I wanted to buy in a DC book, and it has a Marvel label on it. Yes, it has DC versus Marvel. It's an omnibus, and then it has the Marvel Universe battles and combines with the DC Universe. I don't know why it's in the DC Connect and not in the Marvel one. Maybe I missed it, but it's on page 33 and 34. I'm getting both of these. I didn't think they'd ever reprint these. It's awesome that they're reprinting them. Grab them while you can, because who knows if they'll ever reprint them again. Again, that's Marvel versus DC, and the amalgam, it's the when they mix the two characters, like Wolverine and Batman and stuff like that. It's very, very cool stuff, very worth it. I would say get your hands on it now before it's no longer available. All right, on to the next pick.
Brawlinator again, and now I'm just on page 5 of DC Connect, and back in 1996... the two superhero universes from DC and Marvel fused together in a new amalgam universe. And I think, I don't know if it was Rob Liefeld, but somebody had made the point recently that that's the kind of stuff that's never going to get reprinted. The things that you rarely ever see reprinted are licensed properties, which actually Image Comics is reprinting the David Bowie Labyrinth comics adaptations now. And that's been like something like 30 years. Liefeld was making the point, I believe it was Liefeld, that these crossovers wouldn't be reprinted, even though they recently did do the JLA Avengers, but that was sort of in to commemorate George Perez's illness before he died. But this is the Amalgam Age, and what was cool about this, if, to the uninitiated, I'm imagining most of the listeners are aware of what this was. There was a crossover that took place, DC versus Marvel battle, but then in the midst of that, sort of the solution to the what was going on in this crossover is you had characters that became amalgamated. So like Bruce Wayne and Nick Fury became the same, were embodied in one character. So the publishers, DC and Marvel, took turns putting out single issues of like Bruce Wayne, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1, or Doctor Strange Fate, which was Doctor Fate and Doctor Strange blended together. Iron Lantern, which was Iron Man and Green Lantern. Legends of the Dark Claw, which was done like the Batman the Animated Series, but it was a Wolverine-Batman amalgamation into Dark Claw, Lobo the Duck, Spider-Boy, Super Soldier number one, X-Patrol, just a lot of fun mashups, if you will, remixes. Sadly, they will not be including a couple of really good ones. JLX number one, which was the Justice League and X-Men mashup written by Mark Waid and Gerard Jones, and also Magneto and the Magnetic Men number one, which was written by Gerard Jones. And it's because 6-7 years ago, I think, Gerard Jones went to federal prison over some ugly material on his computer. I think you probably know what I'm talking about. If not, you can look it up. But they're not going to be including those issues because of the taint of Gerard Jones's reputation ever since. And they've canceled other stuff that Gerard had put out. But this is so chock full. And all these were just little one-offs, which were kind of fun. I don't think they ever returned back to this amalgam world, although this omnibus does include the All Access 1 through 4 and the Unlimited Access 1 through 4. So they didn't quite go the way of the Clone Saga with Spider-Man as far as continuing to milk this, but they did milk it for all it's worth. And I, for one, am glad they're putting this all in an omnibus edition. Maybe the book club can go through and eat this over a few sessions and talk about what we liked and what we didn't like. But that's probably enough about that. It's DC versus Marvel, the Amalgam Age Omnibus. It's found on page 5 of DC Connect.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick in the DC Comics Connect catalog is on page 17 with Batman Superman, World's Finest, number 28, written by Mark Waid, with art and main cover by Dan Moore, and this is the version I'll be getting. Variant covers by Nathan Zerdy and Philippe Massafara, a 1 in 25 variant cover by Matt Taylor, and the cover price is $3.99 for 32 pages, and the cardstock variant covers are $4.99 and is scheduled to be on sale on June 18th. Something is destroying the fifth dimension, and if an army of evil imps can obliterate all the joy in life from an entire reality, what chance do Superman and Batman stand against it? A multitude of DC guest stars and their fifth-dimensional counterparts join the world's finest duo in a last-ditch attempt to save Earth from the ultimate darkness. Reading the mention of the fifth dimension reminds me of all of the wonderful, wacky Mr. Mixius Pedelec stories from my childhood in the 60s. And writer Mark Waid, who grew up reading Silver Age comic books like I did, respects the comic book history, but he's able to take concepts rooted in the Silver Age and update them and come up with some great stories like his current run in Batman Superman World's Finest. Billy Hogan again. My next pick in the DC Comics catalog is on page 20 with Action Comics number 1066, written by Joshua Williamson, with art and main cover by Rafa Sandoval, and this is the version I'll be getting. Variant covers by Jorge Jimenez and Paolo Rivera, a 1 in 25 variant cover by Mark Spears, a DC Pride variant cover by Betsy Cola. The regular edition is $4.99 for 40 pages, and the cardstock variant covers are $5.99, and this issue is scheduled to go on sale June 18th. House of Brainiac Part 5. The Brainiac Queen is alive. Now that Brainiac has created his masterpiece, all bets are off, and Superman and his family are witness to a cosmic horror unlike anything they've ever seen. As we learn the true history of Brainiac, the main man Lobo must choose what side he is on before all hell breaks loose. Brainiac is right up there with Lex Luthor as Superman's most challenging enemies, so I love any story involving Brainiac, and I wish the DC movie universe would get around to creating a movie with Brainiac as the villain. Being a type of science fiction villain, I think Brainiac would make a perfect antagonist in a Superman movie. Billy Hogan again. My next DC pick is on the very next page, number 21, with Superman, number 15. Written by Joshua Williamson. Art and cover by Rafael Sandoval, which is the version I'll be getting. Variant covers by Stepan Sajic, and pardon me if I mispronounce that name, Joshua Sway Swabi, and Miguel Mercado. There's a 1 in 25 variant cover by Danny Earls, a DC Pride variant cover by Angel Solorzano. The cover price of the regular edition is $4.99 for 32 pages, and the cardstock variant covers are $5.99, and this issue is scheduled to go on sale June 25th. House of Brainiac Part 6, Fall of the House of Brainiac. Superman and Lex have figured out how to stop Brainiac and his queen, but it will take a great sacrifice. Can they do the unthinkable to save their family and friends? This all leads directly into DC's summer event, Absolute Power. The relationship between Superman and Lex Luthor has taken a lot of twists and turns over the decades, and seeing them sometimes collaborate in recent storylines is a very unusual and interesting turn in their relationship. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this storyline wraps up. Now, I probably will not be getting the Absolute Power event series because I'm just not into all the event series that DC and Marvel have put out in recent years. Plus, being on a tight comic book budget, I can't afford to get all the tie-ins. So I'm just going to stick with the Superman issues.
Brawlinator again, and now I'm over here on page 38 of DC Connect. I know, right? I'm still in DC Connect, which is pretty rare. I'm actually not going to be getting into Marvel previews this month. This is on page 38. It's Mad Magazine number 1, the facsimile edition. Now, this is the very first issue of Mad Magazine. Boy, wouldn't it be great if they did an omnibus of Mad Magazines? Golly, that would be just awesome. This has got There's a couple of ways to get this cover, like a sketch cover or whatever, but it's a Harvey Kurtzman cover. It's basically just a funny book, the classic funny book. It's humor, can be a little bit vicious, and there's a lot of word balloons in this stuff. I've got a copy of this myself. It is going to have all the original ads in it. You know how these facsimile editions are. If you've never read old Mad Magazine, do yourself a favor and pick this up. It's only $3.99. It's 32 pages. Comes out this June. But they really would skewer popular culture, movies, and so on, particularly in later years of Mad Magazine. But this was sort of just a bunch of what they called the usual gang of idiots, Harvey Kurtzman, Will Elder, Jack Davis, and Wally Wood, just having a whole lot of fun playing around with popular genres at the time, mystery, horror, noir. It was good stuff. I suggest you get it. If you do not have a copy of this or you've never read it, pick up Mad Magazine number 1, the facsimile edition in DC Connect. It's over on page 38.
Billy Hogan again. My final DC pick is on page 38 with Mad Magazine number 1 facsimile edition. Written by Harvey Kurtzman, art by Harvey Kurtzman, Jack Davis, Wally Wood, Bill Elder, and John Severin, cover by Harvey Kurtzman. And there is also a blank sketch cover. Cover price of the regular edition is $3.99, and the variant cover is $4.99 and scheduled to go on sale June 4th. For people who like their humor in a jugular vein, we offer again these tales calculated to drive you mad. A facsimile reprint of the first landmark issue of Mad, with parodies of the leading comic book genres of 1952, this issue includes the EC horror-inspired terrorizing tales of Hoo-Ha, the expansive science fiction future world of Blobs, the wacky western-themed Varmint, and from our true crime tales department, Gnefs. Prepare to have your side split by Mad's creators and the original usual gang of idiots, Harvey Kurtzman, Will Elder, Jack Davis, and Wally Wood. Now, Mad Magazine was a color comic book for its first 23 issues from 1952 to 1955. But when the Comics Code Authority came into existence, mainly targeting EC Comics, which published Mad and all its other horror titles, it pretty well shut down EC Comics as a company except for Mad Magazine, which EC Comics turned into a black and white magazine, which is the version of Mad Magazine that I was familiar with growing up. My first issue was number 105, the September 1966 issue, which featured a Batman character looking at Alfred E. Newman, who was dressed up in a Robin costume. One of the last surviving members of the usual gang of idiots was Al Jaffe, who was a Mad contributor for 65 years, a little bit longer than I've been alive. He died aged 102 last year. So if you grew up loving Mad Magazine, I would recommend you buy this facsimile edition of Mad Magazine number 1. I've got a few magazine reprints of various Mad satires, but I never got a copy of this facsimile edition before, so I'm not going to pass up the opportunity.
My first pick is on page 39 of the DC Connect catalog, and it is Crisis on Infinite Earths number 3 facsimile edition. Now, this was a landmark, groundbreaking series by Marv Wolfman and George Perez that forever restructured the DC universe, multiverse, etc. I mean, there have been others that have followed on, but this was, I think, a massive turning point for DC continuity in all ways, shapes, and forms that we're still feeling the reverberations of today. Now, not only are they doing this as a facsimile edition and stuff, it's been collected a number of times, but I want to remind you all that James, Sam, and I got together on Back Issue Spotlight number 100 to cover the first 4 issues of Crisis on Infinite Earths, which includes, of course, this 3rd issue. We then followed that with Back Issue Spotlight 101, which did issues 5 through 8 of Crisis on Infinite Earths, Back Issue Spotlight 102, which covered the remaining issues of 9 through 12 of the series, and there's also a Crisis Q&A in which James and I discuss various Crisis events and answer some questions on this series, among others. Again, this series was beyond pivotal for DC. People still talk pre- and post-Crisis in a way that they don't about Infinite Crisis, Flashpoint, and the other Crisis-level events and stuff. And at some point, James and I are going to have to go through all the different JLA-JSA team-ups that kind of led to, in some way, shape, or form, this series, but certainly led to the naming of this series, because it would be like Crisis on Earth 1, Crisis on Earth 2, Crisis on Earth X, or what have you. So if you've never read this, at $3.99 cover price for these facsimile editions, I think it's a great way to get on board. If you want to go check it out, I'm sure it's got to be on the DC Infinite app. If it's not, I'd be shocked. I'm positive it's got to be. There's also, again, hardcovers, softcovers. Crisis on Infinite Earth is not a good place to start for the DC Universe because it's just touching, like, everything. But if you are familiar with the DC Universe and stuff and want to see a massive, line-wide, universe-shattering event, this is really the only choice. I mean, there have been others that have been big at both Marvel and DC and stuff, but none to this level with these sorts of repercussions. So highly recommend it. Again, we've got a number of episodes that will help kind of guide you through the series and understand it a little better. And if you guys have questions on it, I'd be happy to do another Crisis Q&A episode because I find those things a lot of fun. So once again, that's Crisis on Infinite Earths number 3 facsimile edition on page 39 of the DC Connect catalog.
Hey, this is James back with another pick in the DC Connect, and this time I'm in the collected editions on page 44, and there are quite a few things on this page that are catching my eye. Some of them are reprints. There's Absolute Transmetropolitan, Batman by Paul Dini, Omnibus. I believe I have it, though. The one that I'm pretty sure I don't have, I just checked my database, on page 44 is Nightwing Year 1 20th Anniversary Deluxe Edition. I am a fan of Nightwing. I like the character. I'm not as big of a fan as John is, but I do like him quite a bit. And this is written by Scott Beatty and Chuck Dixon. I like Chuck Dixon. And the art and covers by Scott McDaniel. And like I said, it's material that I don't think I've read. It's a hardcover. It is $30. I'll be getting this for probably $15 through Deep Discount Comics with Eric. And it's 200 pages. And it says the acclaimed Bat Girl Year One, and Robin Year One writing team reunites with Nightwing penciler Scott McDaniel to tell the story of Nightwing Year One. This 20th anniversary deluxe edition collects the entire saga, featuring a brand new introduction by writer Scott Beatty and never-before-printed outline and notes from the making of the Year One storyline, the Nightwing number 104 script, an extensive behind-the-scenes sketchbook from pencil Scott McDaniel, and a brand new cover by McDaniel and more. But once again, never read the material, so I am looking forward to this. They have a main cover and they have a direct market cover. Looks good. And like I said, there's other things in these collected editions I'm looking at that I'm interested in, but this one I'm almost definitely going to pick up. And on to my next pick.
Jason again with my last pick in the DC Connect catalog on page 45. It's Robin Tim Drake Compendium Volume 1. So that is encouraging that this is a Volume 1. And even though compendiums are not necessarily my favorite way to read comics, I think it is great to get a series printed that may not have several printings like some of the other ones that they print several times a year. This one is 1,128 pages for $59.99. Tim Drake is personally my favorite Robin, and I really enjoyed his kind of a realistic take with the character. And I've always felt like that's how, you know, I felt like I saw myself in him a little bit. And I think that's what kind of made him like my favorite Robin. It says, after discovering Batman's secret identity, Tim Drake has been accepted by the Dark Knight as his new partner in crime fighting. He must now endure months of intensive training on the path to publicly debuting as the Caped Crusader's new partner. Presenting Tim Drake's first adventures, Robin, Tim Drake Compendium, Volume 1, collects Batman 455 through 457, 465 through 469, 480, Detective Comics 618 through 621, Robin Volume 1, 1 through 5, Robin 2, The Joker's Wild, 1 through 4, Robin 3, Cry of the Huntress, 1 through 6, Robin Volume 2, Issues 1 through 5, Robin Annual 1 and 2, Superman Volume 2, Issue 70, Superman, The Man of Steel, Issue 14, and Stories from Batman's 80-Page Giant, Issue 2, and Showcase 93, Issues 1 through 6 and 11 through 12. So this is definitely my take on Tim Drake and my favorite Robin, and I look forward to reliving his early adventures in this Volume 1 compendium.
Hey, this is James with another pick from the previous catalog, and I flipped the page, and I'm over on page 163. Now, what's funny is on page 162, I was looking at Bledrick trade paperback. Look, it's interesting. Geiger Deluxe Edition hardcover. If you did not read the first volume of Geiger, you got to pick this up. It was fantastic. But at the top of page 163, we have a new Ed Brubaker writer, Sean Phillips artist, Houses of the Unholy hardcover. It is a hardcover. They've been printing these books. They come out as hardcovers. You get one probably about once every 6 months or so. And they're just fantastic books by Ed Brubaker. He's doing a whole series of them. They're not linked together. You can pick up any one of these books. But if you like crime books, if you like noir books that are done right, you're going to want to pick these things up. And it says, an FBI agent from the cult crime beat and a woman with a past linked to the satanic panic are drawn into a terrifying hunt for an insane killer hiding in the shadows of the underworld. Can you ever escape your past, or are all your bad decisions just more ghosts to haunt you wherever you go? Houses of the Unholy is a riveting horror thrill ride from best-selling creators. Okay, I'm not going to read all that. It is 144 pages hardcover for $24.99. You will probably get close to 50% off from Deep Discount Comics. If you're a Brubaker fan, you got to pick it up. On to my next pick. Hey, this is James with another pick in the image section. And I'm on page 165, and we have The Department of Truth number 23. This kind of blew my mind because I thought that James Tynion had just bailed on this property, and I was kind of disappointed. I picked up the hardcover a while back. The last issue of this came out in 2022. I'm recording this. It is March 31st of 24. Yeah, like a year and a half ago, I think at this point, which is just ridiculous. I probably don't remember what was happening a year and a half to 2 years ago, but James Tynion, Martin Simmons, something must have happened to slow this down. This was my favorite series. Almost every issue that I read and a book of the year at the yearly comic spotlight. And like I said, I was just sad. I thought it was abandoned. I never saw the end of the story. And now I just had a wow, what happened moment when I saw this. I'm not a member of the Substack, so I don't know what happened. But I'm going to be picking this up. This is my favorite comic. I hope I can be drawn back in. I hope he catches me up, because like I said, I haven't read this book for 2 years, and that's a hell of a long break, and it would be sad if they lost me because of that. But I'm going to be picking up issue 23. If you're a fan of it like me, pick it up, 32 pages, $3.99 on page 165.
Brawlinator again. Now I'm in the previews catalog proper with everybody else. I'm not sure if this is the back half. It's page 161, so I guess this is still the front half. But this is a Skybound's collaboration with Hasbro. Man, so many people have been enjoying the G.I. Joe, Energon universe, Transformers, Void Rivals, G.I. Joe, Cobra, and they've got Duke, and they've got Cobra Commander. The first few issues are collected now in trade for anybody that might have missed out. Maybe they thought that, well, this isn't going to be that big a deal, or maybe they're trade waiting. Well, the wait is over. So it's over on page 161. This is where basically it goes back to the beginning, the first volume here, because this is collecting Duke 1 through 5 and Cobra Commander 1 through 5 is in the other one. These are both $14.99 with a cover A or a cover B. Joshua Williamson wrote both of these, and they're just great. This goes back to sort of the beginning of the Cobra organization. Actually, it hasn't quite formed yet. This is where it starts, and Duke is where G.I. Joe begins, covering Conrad Hauser, where he makes his first contact with an alien being and live to tell the tale. This is sort of when humanity also first meets up with aliens and Transformers. If you are a fan of any of these Hasbro properties and you have not picked up Skybound's Cobra Commander or Duke yet, I suggest you do so. They've got, obviously, a few other ongoings going on right now, Scarlet number 1 and Destro number 1, which you may want to check out also. Check out page 161 with Duke and Cobra Commander, and if you know any G.I. Joe fans out there that have never dipped into comic books, hey, this might be a nice thing to get them. Just hand it off to them and say, hey, take a look at this, see what you think, let me know what you think. Might get more people interested in good comic books again. It is found on page 161 of this month's previews. That's Cobra Commander Volume 1 Trade Paperback and Duke Volume 1 Trade Paperback from Skybound Image. Brawlinator, for my next pick, I'm on page 162, and I know James has been talking about this quite a bit. He's been really impressed. I actually thought about getting it. I like Jeff Johns and Gary Frank, who's the artist, but I just never, I don't know why I didn't get into this, and I heard good reviews, but this is Geiger, the Deluxe Edition, Volume 1 hardcover on page 162. It's a oversized hardcover, and it collects Geiger 1 through 6, and it says portions of the Geiger 80-page giant, number 1, along with 30 more pages of bonus material. So this is 272 pages, full color, an oversized deluxe hardcover edition of Geiger. This is like 25 years in the future. Nuclear war has ravaged the planet. You know, it's almost like sort of a Mad Max world. And you've got a man who lives out in the poison wastelands named Tariq Geiger. And his body has transformed into a living nuclear reactor waiting to explode. He's got a wife. He's got kids. They live inside a fallout shelter completely cut off from the world, but apparently there's some warlords of Vegas that want him dead, and he's going to have to take his family out into the toxic soup and do battle with these people. Again, people are saying good things, and you can't go wrong with Jeff Johns and Gary Frank. If you want a nice hardcover edition of it, or if you're reading it, you know, James, I don't know if James is mentioning this one. Maybe he didn't know about it. Maybe he'll pick it up too. But again, it's on page 162 in the previews catalog, Geiger Deluxe Edition, Volume 1.
This is Nick with a pick from the Image Previews catalog. I'm looking at Feral number 4. It says, of course, more animal horror in this ongoing series from the creators of Stray Dogs. The first issue came out at the tail end of March, and I actually just got the issue in the mail the other day, but haven't had a chance to read it yet. I thought Stray Dogs was kind of a fun take on things, and hopefully Feral is also an interesting animal horror story. For this issue exactly, it says 32 pages for $3.99, which is always a plus. Story is by Tony Fleeks with art by Trish Forstner, Tone Rodriguez, and Brad Simpson. And the solicitation says the indoor cats finally come home, but so do their secrets. After surviving the rabies-infested forest, can the cats survive each other? And what exactly is lurking in the basement? Don't get scratched. Don't become feral.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick comes in the Image Comics section on page 166 with Geiger number 3, written by Jeff Johns. The cover of the main edition is done by Brad Anderson and Gary Frank, and Gary Frank is the artist of this issue, and an alternate cover is done by Dean Haspiel. I'll be getting the Brad Anderson and Gary Frank edition. Tariq Geiger surrounds himself with some dangerous friends. His two-headed wolf Barney bears the trauma of the fateful night that Geiger found him, and he and Geiger's surprising new companion try to atone for a life of unfettered violence and brutality. But even between the three of them, they are no match for the many threats in pursuit, plus the return of Junkyard Joe. This issue is scheduled to be in comic book shops on June 12th for the cover price of $3.99. I've loved reading Geiger from the very beginning, so I can't wait to read this issue. And Junkyard Joe is a character I like almost as much as I do Geiger.
This is Nick with a pick from Image. It's The Grommets, number 2 of 7. I don't think I called out the issue number 1 of this last month, but I did want to point out, because I'm pre-ordering this series, it's about 1980s skater culture, but what caught my attention about it the first time around was actually the fact I'd seen a story a couple months ago about Rick Remender and Brian Posehn, the writers on this series. It's kind of semi-autobiographical. I mean, I'm sure the events are all made up, just taken from their various experiences, but they both found their way into skateboarding in the early 80s as a way to find their tribe, so to speak. The art here is by Brett Parson and Moreno Denisio, and it says, for this example, you know, in this solicitation, it says, "The Grommets, big day out. After some fine dining at the Bell, Rick and Brian meet up with the Gens to skate a parking garage. They'll face security guards, jock thugs, and wipeouts in a classic day of unsupervised danger, fun, and adventure in the lives of 80s suburban latchkey kids." Anyway, check it out if that's the kind of storytelling that appeals to you. The preview art had looked fun, and again, another little appeal here to some children of the 80s.
Hi, this is Marvin, also known as Viking Joker, and I am on page 169 of the previews catalog. Technically, this is an Image book, and I know there's an Image catalog, but I don't have that in front of me. I have the previews catalog in front of me. I'm looking at Rat City number 3. In a really rare situation, I picked up Rat City number 1 off the rack this week at my LCS Secret Identity Comics. I don't know why I failed to order it, even though I called it out 2 months ago or whatever on previews clip. I somehow forgot it, so I didn't order it, and I had to go find a copy. I found a copy. I read it this week. Love all the world building that was done in that issue. It was an oversized issue, so it was $3.99 as opposed to the ongoing issue, which I'm looking at right now. Number 3 is only $2.99, like all of the Spawn books. I keep telling y'all that if you want to collect a universe, the Spawn universe is the most inexpensive one to collect. All of the titles are $2.99. So if you enjoy that world, it's a lower investment than some of the others that you might want to go all in on. So anyway, Rat City number 3, written by Erica Schultz, art by Z. Carlos. Peter Karen, the deviant, has decided that he is done hiding. He is taking the fight directly to those who created him. So this is a future Spawn set in a different world, basically. So we're not getting any of the crossover. So another thing, if you're interested in just kind of a simplified approach to reading a story and not maybe having as much to have to collect, this one seems like it might be a little more standalone than the rest of the Spawniverse, just because those all cross over and they're all in the same time frame. I'll say this one will eventually cross over. I'm sure it will. But this one seems to be a little bit more in its own place and time, so it might be a little more stable. Anyway, I'm reading it. Maybe you will too.
This is Nick with another pick from Image. This is The Sacrificers, issue number 9. And I've really just been enjoying the monthly dose of Max Fiumara art that we get. The story is by Rick Remender, and the colors are by the excellent David McCaig. Just different than most other things that you're seeing out there right now. The solicitation here specifically says, "With the world falling deeper into chaos, the consequences of Pigeon's choices come back to haunt him. Now he must decide if he'll be consumed by guilt and loss, or if he'll rise up to take his vengeance on the gods." Again, I'm buying this every month for the art. Max just does an excellent job with these dystopian-type situations, creatures, beings of different types and stuff, so it just is definitely worth it for the art. $3.99 on sale in June.
Hey, this is James with my first pick in the Marvel previews, and I thumbed through all the way to page 24 and 25. It's a 2-page spread on the solicit, and there's a reason why I kind of skipped all the stuff at the front. There's a lot of stuff that's coming out for Blood Hunt. If you've been paying attention, the X-Editor has been changed. The Avengers and X-Editors have been swapped around. We're looking at an upcoming into the Krakoa basically version of the X-Men that I started off really strong. I've enjoyed parts of it tremendously, other parts not as much. So there's going to be a monumental shift, and there are very few X books that are solicited. So Blood Hunt came out as an event to kind of fill the gaps, pretty much. So you read between the lines, this is kind of the filler, and I expect next month's Marvel previews we'll start seeing a relaunch of X titles with what's going on, who the creators are. I expect some leaks during this month before the previews even comes out, and I expect it to be posted on the Slack. But X-Men 35, it is Legacy number 700, written by, I'm going to have to tell you all this, it's a big, big one, Jerry Duggan, Kieran Gillen, Al Ewing, Chris Claremont, and Gail Simone, Phil Noto, Joshua Cassara, Lucas Wernick, Arby Silva, Stefano Caselli, Walter Simonson, Lynell Francis Hugh, and more on the art. And there are a bunch of covers on this. And it says in big, bold, red print, "The End of an Era." And honestly, it makes me a little bit excited, but also makes me a little bit sad because I don't want to say I hated the era. I actually liked it. I felt like not the right talent wasn't on all the books and some of the side books. And I think there was too many titles and a cast that was too big to fit even in the, let's say, 15 X books they had come out. It was almost too large. So I'm interested to see what they do. But I, like I said, I'm a little bit sad about this. But it says all good things come to an end. And as good of a thing as the Krakoan era has been for mutant kind, its time has come at last. The tragedy and triumph of Fall of the House of X and the madness and mystery of Rise of the Powers of X, they've all come to their end and led to this moment that will change the future of mutant kind for years to come. Written and drawn by an all-star cast of writers and artists who have shaped the Krakoan Age, this is one milestone no X fan will want to miss. Also featuring a story of a family by X-Men master Chris Claremont and a glimpse of things to come. I am looking forward to the glimpse of things to come, and I'm hoping it's good. This one's a big one. It's pricey, so you are definitely going to want to get it from Deep Discount Comics, where you'll probably get 46% off this price, or 42% off, whatever the discount is. It is 88 pages. But the book is $9.99. This is a hefty tome. I will probably get the standard cover A on this, but we'll see. There's a whole slew of covers. We'll see. If they're priced the same, I might pick the cover that I think looks the prettiest. But this will be a big one. Like I said, thank you for some really great stories, Krakoa era. I'm sorry to see you go, but I'm also excited for what's to come. On to my next pick.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here, and we're in the Marvel previews. If you skip the first couple of Deadpool things that are not number ones, and then you want to pass the Blood Hunt stuff, you have to go to page 2425, which is X-Men number 35, Legacy number 700, End of an Era. This is a wraparound cover with a bunch of art of all the characters. Some of the art is not good to me. Some of the art is great.
There's a ton of people listed as writers, ton of people listed as artists, and you know there's going to be about 30 covers. I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of retailer incentives. I may just get this one wraparound cover and be cool with it. End of an era. All good things must come to an end. And as good of a thing as Krakoan era has been for mutant kind, its time has finally come at last. The tragedy and triumph of fall of the House of X, the madness and mystery of rise of power of X, they've all come to their end, and let there be this moment that will change the future of mankind for years to come. Written and drawn by an all-star cast of writers above who have shaped the Krakoan age, this is one milestone no X-Fan wants to miss. Also featuring a story of family by X-Men master Chris Claremont and a glimpse of the things to come. $10, 88 pages. Only 10 bucks for 88 pages? Wow, they're really taking a hit on this one, huh? It's not like $15, $30? All right, I will be reading this. I'll pick this one up only because I haven't been picking up the X-Men, and this one, I like the cover, and I want to stick on with the legacy number 700. Why not? You know, it's not going to be one to chase down in a couple years. There's going to be hundreds of these out there, thousands of them. I just like the cover, and just to peek in and see what's going on. All right, on to the next one.
Hey, this is James with another pick in the Marvel previews, and I literally flipped the page. I'm on page 26 with Scarlet Witch number 1 by a writer that I don't care for, Steve Orlando. And the artist is Jacopo Kamani. I can't say this name, so I'm sorry. But the art or the cover is by Russell Dodderman. I really do like Russell Dodderman, so there's a variant cover that they're showing in here by Alexander Lozano. I'm sure it's probably going to cost a lot of money that is just gorgeous. But the reason why I'm calling this out is not because I am not a Steve Orlando fan. John really liked Scarlet Witch when Steve Orlando wrote the last series. John, maybe he'll do a clip on this and let me know if it's something he would recommend a new reader should pick up. If he does, I may pick it up. If not, if you don't hear a clip by him, I'll probably pass it. So this one's kind of like dependent on someone else sending in a clip. But I will tell you something that's very weird with this, and this is another reason why I called it out. Ordering Marvel comics is very frustrating. This Scarlet Witch number 1 was on last month's order form when there was no solicit for it. Now I'm getting the solicit. I'm doing a clip for it. And will it be on the order form again? Will people be ordering two of them? Will it be missing and you will have had to order it last month? And now you'll have to hunt for it in FOC. This is very frustrating. I want Marvel to get their act together. This should not happen. We're ordering a month ahead of time. You should know what the heck is coming out. So this is also a clip on frustration. On to my next pick.
Lasers, aeroplanes, it's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery or rewrite history. DuckTales.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here, and I am in the Marvel Previews book, and we're looking at Uncle Scrooge and the Infinity Dime. 1987 was when DuckTales was put on TV, my version anyway, and it ended in 1990, but I wouldn't have known that. I watched that thing probably all throughout the 90s, and it was all just reruns. And I loved my old school, like Huey, Dewey, Louie, and Uncle Scrooge, and Donald. They're all part of the same crew, I guess. But what I'm saying is Uncle Scrooge and the Infinity Dive number 1 is coming out, written by Jason Aaron. And there is a ton of awesome covers, like the variant from Gabriel Del Arte, where he's got the dime in like a little case with his chair. And you got the, I'm guessing, covering A by Alex Ross is Uncle Scrooge diving into his money pit. I don't know why the boys and Daffy Duck, I did it again, Donald Duck, are up in the clouds like they're passed on. That's weird to me. But for the first time ever, Marvel and Disney team up to bring you one of the stories of the century. It's the story you never expected. One of the greatest characters in the history of comics leaps into the most epic adventure yet, in the manner only Marvel can deliver. When Uncle Scrooge's fabled money bin gets stolen by shocking culprit, the world's toughest duck must undertake a quest unlike any other. Alongside its surprising array of allies, other versions of himself. Oversized special from Marvel mainstay writer Jason Aaron and a cadre of Celebration Scrooge's artists. Also reprinting the classic Christmas on Bear Mountain, the first appearance of Scrooge McDuck by the legendary Disney Comics creator Carl Barks. 64 pages, one shot, $7.99. So 88 pages cost 10 bucks, 64 cost 8 bucks. We've got to figure out the pricing here. Definitely picking up Uncle Scrooge's and his Infinity Dime. I love these covers. I can't wait to read this thing. And you flip over, you see a bunch more covers. and I'm still picking with the Alex Ross cover. All right, on to the next pick.
My next pick is on page 28 of the Marvel previews, and it is also Uncle Scrooge and the Infinity Dime number one. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Uncle Scrooge, one of the things about him is there's his number one dime, kind of the first dime he earned and what led to his great fortune down the line. He prizes that above, I don't want to say all else, because there's a lot of things he kind of prizes there or whatever, but it's a special thing in his money bin and his collection of money. I think Uncle Scrooge is one of the best things of the classic Disney characters in comics and such, and definitely worth checking out. It's 64 pages. It's a one-shot. A little pricey at $7.99, but again, 64 pages, so I think we're going to get our money's worth. I'm hoping it's really good, and I've just really enjoyed a lot of the stuff they've done with the Uncle Scrooge character in comics over the last decade or so, and I wish he would get, you know, an ongoing series to tell more adventures or to retell a lot of the existing adventures that were told over in Europe and other places and stuff like that. So if you're looking for a chance to sample Uncle Scrooge, hopefully this is going to be a really good chance to do that. And if not, I do recommend if there's a way to sample the Life and Times of Uncle Scrooge, that's got some great stuff in there too. And I've got a back issue spotlight on that. It might be worth checking out if you're curious about it. So once again, that's Uncle Scrooge and the Infinity Dime number one on page 28 of the Marvel previews.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here. And if you haven't been following along, Marvel's Ultimate Universe, I wasn't around for the first one. The second one that's coming around now is awesome. I'd rather be reading these Ultimate books than some of these counterpart mainstay books. So with that said, we're still in the Marvel previews. We're on page 32, 33, and I'm guessing, let me flip. It's just these two pages. Ultimates, number one. Dennis Camp is the writer. Juan Figueroa is the artist. I don't know either of these guys. This might be the fall from the book, but let's hope not. Covered by Dyke Ron, which is, the Ultimates on the right side. Ultimates return to greatness. Spinning out of Jonathan Hickman and Stefano Caselli's Ultimate Universe, number one. Rising stars, Dennis Camp, Children of the Vault, 20th Century Man, and Juan Figueroa, Invisible Iron Man, assemble an all-new team of Ultimates in a series that kicks off the next chapter of the Ultimate line. 6 months ago, Tony Stark sent Peter Parker a radioactive spider to set him back on the course to become Spider-Man. Since then, Iron Lad, Stark, Captain America, Doom, Thor, and Sif have begun to do the same for their lost heroes, building a network of super-powered heroes hungry for change. Now they must band together to destroy the Maker's Council and restore freedom and free will to the world ruled by a rule from the Shadows. 40 pages, $6. I remember 40 pages was $5. Again, foil pricing, so that means there are going to be some foil covers. The 90s are back. Some of this art is really cool, but the only one really to get is probably cover A. There's no new characters or anything. Yeah, I never know, actually. It's the Ultimates. It may be new characters. But cover A for Spider-Man number one sold the best, besides Black Suit Spidey, if you're going to in speculation of this. If not, I think cover A is just fine. It matches all my other cover A's. So I'm diving into the Ultimates. I'd rather read this than the Avengers right now or Captain America books right now. I don't care for. So this is your wake-up call to pick up the Ultimates, number one. Don't know when it's coming out yet, but there will be a foil cover. Welcome back to the 90s.
This is Jason with my next pick in the Marvel Previews catalog. It's Godzilla number one, facsimile edition. Definitely own a piece of history here, because who knows if this will ever get reprinted again. On page 47 of the Marvel Previews catalog, it says, "The King of Monsters goes on the rampage in the Marvel Universe in this facsimile representation of the first issue of the classic comic book. When Godzilla surfaces in Alaska and leaves a path of destruction, it naturally attracts the attention of Nick Fury and S.H.I.E.L.D. But what can they possibly do to stop a towering, fire-breathing force of nature like Godzilla? Find out in a bold adventure of the legendary kaiju by a pair of industry titans, Doug Munch and Herb Trimpe. It's one of the all-time great Marvel comic books, boldly represented in its original form, ads and all, reprinting Godzilla 1977, issue 1, for $4.99. Definitely enjoyed picking up several issues of this book, and who knows if this will ever get reprinted, but I definitely recommend this if you are a Godzilla fan. And that previous, I think last month, solicited Godzilla omnibus of $100 was a little bit too much, so this might be a good way to go for $4.99. This is Jason again with my next pick in the Marvel Previews catalog. On page 56, it's What If? Venom 505. So I definitely am going to pick this up in trade. I am a huge Venom character, and I like the idea of what if he had interacted with other characters in terms of taking them over. The symbiote had taken them over. This one, of course, has one of my favorites, Moon Knight. It says, the epic finale, what if Venom has slithered its way through Marvel's history, encountering some of the most recognizable places and people, but none are as tough as the host the symbiote will find in this epic series finale, Moon Knight. But which identity of Moon Knight's will the symbiote connect with, and what will their union mean for New York? It's $4.99, and like I said, this ends the series, but I am glad that they're keeping the What If series alive, even though it's different from the original first couple of volumes that they came out with in the 80s and early 90s, but I definitely, or I guess 70s through the 90s, but I definitely look forward to checking this out. I like the idea of trying to see what could have happened if the symbiote had attached with other characters.
Hey, this is James back with my final pick in the Marvel previews, and I'm on page 79 back in the collected editions, and I am looking at Dazzler Omnibus hardcover. Of course, it's a hardcover. I will tell you right off the bat, this art germ cover on the main cover, it's just downright gorgeous. I probably will get the main market art germ cover because it's just beautiful. I mean, even though the Larkin cover is the, you know, a classic cover by Bob Larkin, I got to get this art germ. It's just gorgeous. Now, it's written by Tom DeFalco, Danny Fingeroth, Jim Shooter, and Jent Senti, and Archie Goodwin, penciled by everyone and their brother. And this one is another pricey one. It's 1,360 pages. That's a lot of pages for $150. I will get a nice big discount at Deep Discount Comics. But the thing that I wanted to let you know, I remember reading Dazzler back in the day, and it was a disco character. You know, disco was a thing, and they came out with this character who was like a disco mutant, and I was never a big fan. So I would read her when she crossed over into other books, and I liked her, but I never bought the main book. So for me, this is material that honestly, I didn't read this stuff back when it was coming off the racks. Even though I was there and I could have bought it off the racks, I didn't, just because I was like, oh, that's a girl, not for me. And I, not that you want to say that, I love She-Hulk, but you know, this is a singing girl. So I want to appreciate it and enjoy it now that I'm an older guy, and I think it's something I can go in there and actually really enjoy. These 1,360 pages, I'll let you know what it's collecting. Collects X-Men, number 130 through 131, Amazing Spider-Man, 203, Dazzler, when she went to her own series in 1981, 1 through 42, Marvel graphic novel number 12, Beauty and the Beast 1 through 4, Secret Wars number 4, and material for What If number 33. And it's just a character that you don't see very often, but with them coming out with the omnibus of the material, I'm thinking they probably have plans for her to be, who knows, Marvel Cinematic Universe, or at the bare minimum, a new comic series on the horizon where she's going to pop up and be somewhat important. They tend to sync these things up. But I want to read it just because it's new material for me, just because I avoided it back in the day. And I'm not saying that's because it's bad material. I'm just saying because I was a young, you know, kid, and then later a young teenager, and a singing girl, not my jam. But I'm going to read it now and see if I can appreciate it at an older age. On to my next pick.
Jason again with my next pick in the Marvel Previews catalog on page 80. It's Marvel Masterworks, The Tomb of Dracula, Volume 4. It's on sale in October of 2024. So far with this series, the Tomb of Dracula series and the appearance of the Bronze Age Dracula, they've done a good job about being consistent in releasing one book per year, usually in October. The Tomb of Dracula was one of my favorite series. I had several of these growing up. Not necessarily the whole series, so I look forward to finally getting to read them all. It says, Marv Wolfman's complex, long-form plotting on Tomb of Dracula was years ahead of its time. On the art side, Gene Colan and Tom Palmer's visuals were arguably the final word on Dracula. So what do they have in store for us? An absolute Marvel masterworks. Quincy Harker and his vampire hunters thought they had put an end to the Lord of Vampires, but no. Dracula's evil has survived and has split our heroes apart. All the threads come together as Dracula enacts his revenge, but Dr. Sun may have different plans. Meanwhile, in the shadows lurks Deacon Frost, and Blade pursues the Legion of the Damned in his complete 70s solo series, also featuring Dracula's final giant-size issues, including John Byrne's first Marvel story, collecting Tomb of Dracula, 1972, issues 31 through 40, Giant Size Dracula, issues 4 and 5, which completes that series, and material from Vampire Tales, 1973, issues 8 and 9, and Marvel Preview, issue 3 and 8. $75. Like I said, this is volume 4, and it looks like there might be 7 volumes total. So if you ever enjoyed that series from Gene Colan and Marv Wolfman back in the 1970s, I highly recommend picking this up. Jason again with my next pick on page 90 of the previous catalog. It's Vengeance of the Moon Knight, Volume 1. So this is a series that is the continuation of the Moon Knight series by Jed MacKay. They ended it with issue 30, and they picked up with a new series called Vengeance of the Moon Knight. This collects the first 4 issues of that series. When issue 30 came out, or actually right before it came out, a lot of people were leaking online and talking about how a certain character had taken over for Moon Knight, and it was a devastating blow to the character and all of that. Well, I did trust Jed MacKay, and I went ahead and just continued reading the series, and I really think he's done a good job and continued to stay true to the character's legacy. It did not turn out what the speculation online was. The new Moon Knight was actually just recently revealed in issue 4, which came out this month or late last month. So I'm glad that that was not the case, and I am thankful that I have stuck around on this series. So the Moon Knight character is not, in this series, is not Mark Spector, but is somebody from Moon Knight or Mark Spector's past that's kind of taken on the mantle, but is also clashing with the Midnight Mission, which was the team that the, you know, Mark Spector Moon Knight had built. It says, following the death of Mark Spector, who is left to keep the faith? Clad in the black of mourning, the Midnight Mission remains, but how have they been changed by the Black Spectre's masterstroke? As the congregants pick up the pieces and carry on the mission, they find themselves faced with a mysterious enemy and eerily familiar vestments. Fist of Khonshu will battle Fist of Khonshu as a surprising new Moon Knight targets the Midnight Mission and Hunter's Moon. But what could drive brothers to battle? And with the mission a battleground, what of those who seek aid? As the new Moon Knight serves his own vision of justice, Mark Spector's allies and friends set their sights on finding his base of operations and taking the fight to him. Collecting Vengeance of the Moon Knight, issues 1 through 4, for $15.99. If you are a Moon Knight fan and enjoy that original Jed MacKay storyline, this is a continuation of that. And I am curious what direction they will take it and how many issues this series will last. But the first 4 issues should have been 31 through 34. But I will continue reading as long as Jed MacKay's on the book and see how he continues to do with the Moon Knight legacy.
Hey, this is James here with actually my final pick in the Marvel previews. I thought it was going to be with the Dazzler Omnibus, but I did flip here to the back, and on page 98, there's a trade paperback I wanted to point out. We have Savage Avengers by Jerry Duggan, Volume 1 trade paperback, written by Jerry Duggan with Chris Claremont, penciled by Mike Deodato Jr. Okay, on to all that stuff. The reason why I'm pointing this out, Savage Avengers, the first series was good. Second series, this was the first series. It was very good. It was a fun read. I enjoyed it. Conan in the Marvel Universe. Conan's on the cover of Savage Avengers. Marvel no longer has the Conan license. Marvel is proving, because Conan is in public domain and we are seeing comics being printed with Conan with other publishers, you just can't use Conan on the cover, the name Conan, they can reprint this material. They can even have the picture of the character on the cover. The reason why I'm pointing this out, Titan's been doing a fantastic job with the Conan series. I'm very happy that they are living up to what I would expect by holding the Conan license. My disappointment is Conan rushed out a ton of omnibuses for the main Conan series. They went about halfway through the Savage Sword of Conan releasing Omnibuy. there were a ton of listeners, readers, people, listeners of this podcast, people on the Slack channel who got burned where we bought half those Marvel Omnibuy. Now we're having to wait for Titan to print them. The trade dress is not going to be the same. It'll be the same material, but it's going to be different. They're trying to make it look as close as they can, but they can't use the Marvel logo. They can't do things like that. Oh, well, I guess I'm not a stickler. But I'm a stickler when I can look at this and I can see, huh, they could print Conan if they wanted to. They could have just called that collection Savage Tales Volume 9. Leave everything the same. You could have Conan on the cover. Inside, it could be Savage Sword of Conan issue 138 or 139. They chose not to do that. They chose not to finish it. So that's a frustration that I have, is that they proved to me that they could have done it right here. They chose not to do it. Shame on you, Marvel. Pick this up, though. Savage Avengers is very good, but that was just something that made me just a little bit sad that there was a possibility there and they let it go. Shame on you. On to my next pick.
Jason again with my next pick in the Marvel Previews catalog on page 98. It's Savage Avengers by Jerry Duggan, Volume 1. So this series had been collected through, I believe, 5 trade paperbacks and an omnibus. And it looks like this one is picking up, doing it in like a complete collection or epic collection format. It has 392 pages, collects the first 12 issues of Savage Avengers from 2019, Annual 1, Savage Avengers 0, including X-Men 1981 issues 190 through 191, and material from Free Comic Book Day 2019, which introduced the Savage Avengers storyline. The most interesting part about this, first of all, it was a fun series. I did pick it up. They did throw Conan in the middle of this, and the story revolved a lot around Conan, but it is interesting that they are reprinting a comic that had Conan in it a few years back. So I'm assuming that there are still chances for team-up rights with Conan's character to be reprinted and continue to pop up as, you know, evergreen reprints, at least for the time being. So I am happy about that Marvel continues to reprint issues that Conan had appeared in, you know, with their characters. And so I was afraid it would be a one and done and there would never be another printing again, but it looks like pretty good. It might take 2 or 3 of these epic collection size formats, but it certainly is a good series. If you like any of the characters, Conan, Elektra, Venom, Punisher, or Wolverine, I definitely recommend you picking that up. So it's definitely an enjoyable series. Jason again with my next pick in the Marvel Previews catalog on page 102. It's the Incredible Hulk Epic Collection, Kill or Be Killed, Volume 9. And this is an exciting time to be a Incredible Hulk fan, especially of that first volume, which ran 470-something issues. Basically, they're closing in on it. And this particular volume collects issues 227 to 244, annuals 7 through 9, Captain America issue 230, Marvel Calendar 1979, and material from Marvel Treasury Edition 20 and 24, which might have some new or unprinted things in there. So I'm glad they're picking up the side stories as well. Essentially, this brings us down to about 6 volumes left to complete the entire Incredible Hulk run, including some of his run-ins with the Fantastic Four and Avengers and other key appearances. So I look forward to hopefully one day soon being able to have the entire series. And they're just doing a great job with this. And I look forward to having the whole run in print finally. And so hopefully a few more years and we will get there. But if you are an Incredible Hulk fan, this is a great way to read it. There's no issues skipped through the Epic Collections, whereas in the creator-centric omnibus editions, they will skip it if that writer did not write that particular issue, which has always been really annoying to me. So would love to have a complete run in the Epic Collection, even though it's taking a long time. But I think that's the best way to be able to do that, to be able to read an entire series from issue 1 or whatever the first issue that it started, all the way to the ending of that classic Incredible Hulk.
My next pick is on page 111 of the Marvel Previews, and it is the Marvel Checklist. Now, this isn't an actual thing to buy. It's a thing to go check every damn month, because as James was mentioning earlier about him getting Scarlet Witch and wondering if I'd do a pick on it and stuff, I generally don't do clips on items that aren't both solicited and on the order form in the given month. I mean, I don't want to recommend something that I haven't seen the solicitation for, and I don't want to recommend something that you can't order this month. So I'm not really doing a pick on Scarlet Witch per se, but it's one of these Marvel Edge cases where they don't seem to solicit and make it available for order in the same month, which I think is just beyond foolish. I do recommend James pick up Scarlet Witch. I've been really enjoying that series. It reminds me, writing style-wise, of Jed McKay's writing, where every issue, there's progress, there's something that happens, and it builds to a larger whole. So definitely worth doing. But they always hide a couple of things here that are ordered but not solicited, or things that are in the catalog that were on last month's order form. So I really do recommend that you get in the habit of checking this page and kind of checking it against your list of what you're planning on getting, just to see if they snuck anything in, because they do that a lot. So once again, that's the Marvel Edge cases on page 111 of the Marvel Previews.
Hey, this is James, and I am in the main previews catalog, and my first pick is going to be on page 56 in the Boom section, where we are looking at another one-shot spinoff, Berserker, A Face Full of Bullets, number one. Created by Keanu Reeves, written by Jason Aaron, illustrated by Francesco Mana. Every single series that I have written in the Berserker world, I have enjoyed. I think it's fantastic stuff. I'm looking forward to the movie when it comes out. I know it's supposed to come out. I don't know. Maybe it already came out. I don't pay attention to movies, but I don't think it has. This one's, it looks like, just from the covers, it's in a Western. So we're going back in time with Berserker, but to the old West, where he's going to let off his rage and take out some villains, probably. Okay, it says, when B finds himself in the middle of a greedy land baron and a runaway daughter, will he play the role of guardian angel or angel of death? I think he's going to play the role of angel of death, just because I've read these books. And when he prays for the vengeance she so obsessively clings to, the bloodbath may be more than she bargained for. That is true. I've seen these, read these comics. Legendary comics writer Jason Aaron enters the brutal world of Berserker along with acclaimed artist Francesco Mana, and I am on board for this. This is going to be fantastic stuff. There is one thing that is going to be a big turnoff to a lot of people out there, but I've liked all the Berserker stuff, so I'm going to take one in the chest. This is 56 pages for $9.99. Get your discount at Deep Discount Comics, because that's a pricey book for 56 pages. But I can guarantee you it will be beautiful, and it will be written well. On to my next pick.
This is Nick with a pick from the Dynamite section of the main previews catalog. Page 108, it is Thundercats, issue number 5. Looks like there's a new story arc here, according to the solicitation. $4.99, 32 pages. They advertise all cardstock covers. I'm not going to read the solicitation here, but I will just read the tagline and let you go on from there in this bit of 80s nostalgia. In this issue, Chitara and Lion-O battle.
My next pick is on page 130 of the Diamond Previews, and it is Doctor Who, the 15th Doctor, number 1 from Titan Comics. This is the first of a 4-issue miniseries, and I enjoy Doctor Who. I've kind of backed off a little from the comics for a while, but I really enjoyed the 15th Doctor, the way he was introduced and used, and I'm looking forward to the actual season with him in it, because we've only just gotten an adventure and a half or whatever of him. But this seems like a lot of fun, so I'm going to check it out, and thought I'd mention it here too. So, once again, that's Doctor Who, the 15th Doctor, number 1 of 4, by Titan Comics, on page 130 of the Diamond Previews.
Hey, this is James back with another pick in the main previews catalog, and I'm on page 136, and I'm looking at The Savage Sword of Conan, number 3. Okay. Why number 3? Why am I calling out number 3? Okay, first of all, this Savage Sword of Conan, I talked about it in the monthly comic spotlight, the first one. Fantastic. Perfect comic. Just perfect in every way. Titan has done a great job with this. They returned Savage Sword of Conan in proper form. The worst thing that people can say about this is, those 2 pages of prose story we could have passed. And the art, you can't see it in full detail unless you look at it digitally because it's on newsprint paper, like the old magazines were, and you can't see the fine detail. And they picked such a fantastic, fantastic artist on that first Savage Sword of Conan. So those were the complaints. That's pretty minimal. I'm looking at the art in this. It's showing Savage Sword of Conan number one art, which is hilarious. So the interior art, when you see that, is not the art that you're going to see in number three. But the reason why I did want to call this out, you see Conan swinging an axe at a big lichen, basically a werewolf, is it says, in parentheses, ongoing. Now, what's the key to ongoing? Well, when the first issue was solicited, it said 1 of 6. And it was so fantastic, and I was talking in the monthly spotlight, I'm so disappointed that this is a 6-issue run, because this is really good. It's even better than the Conan comic. And the Conan comic is fantastic from Titan. But now it's done so well, they proved their point, probably through sales. They're going to make it an ongoing title, and I can't be more happy than I am right now when I saw the ongoing in parentheses. Pick this up, rejoice, 64 pages, $6.99. It's worth every penny. If you like Conan, you need to be reading the Savage Sword of Conan. Great stuff. On to my next pick.
Hey guys, this is my next pick in the previews catalog on page 136. From Titan Comics, it's the Savage Sword of Conan magazine number 3. And it does give us the good news that this is an ongoing series, so hope to continue to have many more of these. It says, The Savage Sword of Conan continues its triumphant return from Heroic Signatures and Titan Comics. Featuring a chilling Conan tale from writer Frank Thierry and Kerry Nord, the exciting conclusion of writer-artist Patch Zerker's Solomon Kane epic, a silent Conan story from writer-artist Alan Kwa, a tantalizing sneak peek of John C. Hocking's novel, Conan, City of the Dead, jaw-dropping covers from Alex Horley and Kerry Nord, credible art, pinups, and more. So far, we've just gotten the first issue, but I was very pleased with the full-length Conan story. I thought they did a great job of taking their time and telling what felt like the equivalent of a long Conan story or novelet almost. The printing was a little bit off in some areas in terms of the black detail. Just some of it just looked like black splotches, and so hard to tell some of the details, but I'm hoping that they will continue to improve as time goes on. Looks like this story deals with some kind of a wolf or werewolf, and so another one of my favorite subgenres, so I look forward to that. The first Solomon Kane story was excellent, so it looks like it's going to conclude in this issue 3, and so I like how they give plenty of time to a Conan story, and then they have some kind of a backup from one of the other Robert E. Howard characters, so highly looking forward to this, and hope they continue the great work.
Hi, this is Marvin, and I am in the previews catalog on page 136 in the Titan section. I know that we have several people that like to call out Conan things, and I don't normally do that because everybody else is doing it, but I'm going to call out the Savage Sword of Conan number 3, which we're all excited to hear has been turned into an ongoing series as opposed to a 6-issue limited series, which it appeared to be initially. But Heroic Signatures, who now has the franchise, the Conan license, is killing it over here at Titan, and Conan the Barbarian number 12 and the next page, great series as well. But really excited that Savage Sword has been resurrected, and yeah, it's using the same format, black and white, magazine size, anthology. I can't say enough great things about it. You know, there's some negativity towards some of the muddiness of the art in the first issue, and I'm hoping that they can work out some of that. I don't think it was horrible, but you know, Modern Times trying to do a black and white comic, I think they kind of stumbled a little bit, but still love it, and just excited that we're getting more of it. One thing that's interesting about this third issue is we have a Kerry Nord cover. Kerry Nord famously launched Conan when Dark Horse got the license. So if you read the first several issues of that, I don't know how far he went. I have them all in the Epic collections that Marvel put out, but Kerry Nord was the artist given the reins on Conan back then. So I don't know. I think it's kind of cool that he's been given a cover on this one. So I'll probably pick that one up. A little nostalgic for that. So anyway, going off on Kerry Nord there. But the exciting part is we have an ongoing Savage Sword of Conan. So all y'all need to go grab that so that they keep publishing it. I would appreciate it. Thank you.
This is Jason again on the next page, page 137 of the previews catalog. It's Conan the Barbarian, number 12, ongoing, the thrilling arc finale. Conan has traveled far and seen much in his legendary journeys, but nothing he has experienced thus far can prepare him for a quest to lands beyond to answer dark riddles of the past. Unexpected allies await, fierce enemies loom, and the strange power of the Black Stone stirs in the age unconquered. So going back to the series, issue 8 was a little bit of a head-scratcher to me. Issue 9 quickly turned things around, and just I really appreciate and I'm glad to have Jim Zub at the helm and Roberto De La Torre as the artist. I think that's a great team. I like this particular cover B, which gives a little bit of details to the story, but anytime you have Conan the Barbarian and Cole the Conqueror or King Cole teaming up, I consider that a big win for me. So I hope they continue to be on this series for many more issues to come. Jason again with my next pick on page 139. It's Conan, City of the Dead. So this is actually a novel, and it looks like it has two stories in it by John C. Hocking. So definitely love the Conan comics, and that's what brought me into the lore and made me a Conan fan. But I will tell you this, the novels are also really fun to get into, so it's good to kind of take your time and breathe and be into those stories. And the Blood of the Serpent that came out last year, it was a pretty good story. It was, once again, it was a prequel to one of the Robert E. Howard stories, Red Nails. And so I appreciated seeing a little bit of backstory in leading into Conan making it to the beginning of Red Nails and that particular one. So I think Titan is doing a good job with picking good writers that know the character and writing it well. And this one says it combines the classic Conan and the Emerald Lotus with the all-new original Conan and the Living Plague. In Conan and the Emerald Lotus, the seeds of a deadly, addictive plant grant sorcerers immense power, but turn its users into inhuman killers. In the exclusive, long-awaited sequel, Conan and the Living Plague, a Shemite wizard seeks to create a serum to use as a lethal weapon. Instead, he unleashes a hideous monster on the city of Dulcine. Hired to loot the city of its treasures, Conan and his fellows in the mercenary troop find themselves trapped in the depths of the city's keep. So definitely looks like a good classic idea for a Conan story, so I hope that they do that well. And I like the idea of it being, you know, 500, looks like it's 512 pages. It's coming out on June 19th. This is the hardcover version, and, you know, usually about 6 months to a year later, they will release the mass market trade paperback version. So I look forward to catching this when it comes here in the summer of 2024. Jason again with my next pick in the previews catalog on page 156. It's The Avengers, The First 60 Years by Titan Comics. It's a hardcover $24.99 coming out on June 11th, 2024. It says a celebration of 60 years of Marvel's Avengers. This deluxe book explores the comic book history of the Marvel's premier superhero team, looking in depth at their greatest battles, deadliest enemies, and their unlikeliest allies. Also solicited in this same page in the corner is Spider-Man, The First 60 Years, Fantastic Four, The First 60 Years, and Hulk, The First 60 Years. They also did a book several months back, maybe even a year ago, that says it was called Marvel, The First 80 Years. So they're really doing their job of telling the history of the Marvel Universe, both generally and through specific characters and teams. I did get the Hulk one a few months back, and I just really enjoyed that quite a bit. I definitely love the Avengers and look forward to a book telling about their story and their history. I think I will be getting the Spider-Man one and Fantastic Four at some point as well. So highly recommend this if you're a Marvel Comics fan, especially in the early history. Leading up to, looks like it covers the comics, the creators, allies, enemies, and I guess its effect on culture. So, well done books. Titan does a good job with these and highly recommend.
This is Nick with a pick from the Dark Horse section of the Bane Previews catalog. It is Helen of Windhorn, number 5. Writer here being Tom King, the artist being Bilquis Evely. Or Bilquis Evely, I think maybe I've heard it pronounced recently. Anyway, pick it up for her art, the story,
I mean, you can imagine it's been written by Tom King, so there are certain themes that are going to come up here. But to be honest, have you read the first issue? Have you looked at those pages? Check this series out. It's, I believe, wrapping up at issue number 6 based on the solicitation text here. It says penultimate issue. There's frustrations. The character starts drinking, trying to find their way back to a fantasy world. Kind of sounds a little familiar, or maybe about what's expected. But again, pick it up for the art. $4.99. There's only going to be one more issue, so it's a limited investment as far as that goes. But Bill Kiseveli's art must be supported, and so I'm making a recommendation.
Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this time I guess I kind of am in the back half, which is a little bit funny, but I'm in the Dark Horse section on the back half of the previous catalog, and I almost did a clip on page 216 for Kill All Immortals. Zach Kaplan, it sounded cool. It was a Viking story about people who live kind of forever. But on page 217, I had to do a clip on this. We have a Nemesis Rogues Gallery, written by Mark Millar. Art is by Valerio Gian Giordano. I'm butchering that. I apologize. Yeah, Mark Millar has taken his properties over to Dark Horse, where I think Dark Horse will be really excited to have a writer of the caliber of Mark Millar. And Mark Millar is a free bird, and he doesn't stick to anyone's narrative or any company's lines and what they want them to say. So he's over at Dark Horse, where I'm sure they'll treat him well. And I'm just super excited because I love Mark Millar as a writer. And it says, from best-selling, award-winning creator Mark Millar from Civil War and Kingsman, Millar World and Dark Horse Comics are proud to present the debut of a brand new arc of the best-selling thriller Nemesis. And I actually really love Nemesis, about the ultimate super criminal. Immediately following the events of the smash hit Big Game, which was fantastic, all of the properties in the whole Millar World, I've heard it said both ways, were brought together. Just this epic event. It was terrific. Nemesis lies broken and destroyed, but hellbent on vengeance, that sounds like Nemesis, against every single person who wronged him. The bloody fire back begins here as he marshals together a plan for the ages. It is $4.99. I am on board. This is going to be fantastic. I can tell you now because Mark Millar still has it. Let's go. Millar World over at Dark Horse. A new age has begun.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick in this month's previews comes on page 218 in the Dark Horse section with Usagi Yojimbo the Crow, number 4 of a 5-issue miniseries. The writer, cover, and story artist is Stan Sakai, and a variant cover edition is done by David Nakayama. Usagi, Jin, and Stray Dog have discovered where the rival bounty hunter group led by the ruthless Inuyoshi is holding Yukichi hostage. The rescue attempt leads to a huge confrontation, but they receive news that may force the vicious enemies to form an uneasy alliance. Scheduled to be in shops on July 17th for the cover price of $4.99. I love Usagi Yojimbo because through an anthropomorphic rabbit in a world full of anthropomorphic characters, Stan Sakai gives us a peek into the history, folklore, and customs of feudal Japan. Plus, he is an excellent artist and storyteller.
This is Nick with a pick from IDW. It is Godzilla, Here There Be Dragons 2, Sons of Giants, issue number 1. 32 pages, $4.99, on sale in June. The story is by Frank Thierry, the art by Inaki Miranda, and this is a follow-up to last summer's Smash miniseries, which I think was about Magellan or something. Anyway, it says Frank Thierry and Inaki Miranda reunite to explore the conspiracy that led to Sir Francis Drake hiding his treasure on Munster Island. Who are the Sons of Giants, and what is their mission? More importantly, what is their connection to Godzilla and the other Munsters? This series shows us how it all came to be, how Godzilla was discovered by the leaders of the world, and how it changed history forever. This has been kind of a fun take, kind of inserting Godzilla into these random points in the past. Obviously, Godzilla's been around for thousands and millions of years, so might as well see what happened throughout history, and this is definitely one of those chapters of the story.
This is Jason again with my next pick on page 246 of the previews catalog from Andrews Michael. It's Mighty Marvel 2025 wall calendar. This is a reprint of the Mighty Marvel 1975 calendar. It says, spiral bound and printed on sturdy cardstock, the Mighty Marvel 2025 calendar is the first ever reissue of the classic 1975 calendar, which features original art by legendary Marvel artists including Jack Kirby, John Buscema, John Romita Sr., and others. It's 26 pages for $19.90. Of course, this would be one that would be collectible versus writing on, but I saw a pretty beat up copy several years ago. But what I like about this one is that it looks like the years are going to realign from 1975, like the dates, rather the days of the year will realign with 2025 this year. I also like how the characters, like these are some of the classic characters that I remember when I was, you know, growing up, getting into comics. These are what the characters look like. And in my mind, this is what they always should look like. Also, it has Conan on here. So I believe he was in the May 1975 page. So I look forward to seeing if he's actually going to be in this one as well. So it would be pretty cool to have Conan in a Marvel calendar. But it looks like it has the Fantastic Four, Captain America, Spider-Man, Thor. I think in October it has Dracula from Tomb of Dracula, Man-Thing, Werewolf by Night, and some of the other horror characters. So definitely recommend this if you are a Marvel Comics history fan. This is Jason again with my next pick on page 260 of the Marvel Previews. From Band of Bards, it's A Last Goodbye One-Shot by Travis Hill. It says, in the year 2096, a man and his dog journey through the barren, apocalyptic wasteland that was formerly the United States. On a quest to return home one final time before the earth becomes uninhabitable, this wanderer stumbles across a tribe of mutant cannibals seeking to devour one of the few surviving human communities. Will he trek on and leave the people to their fate? Or will he seek redemption for the mistakes of his past? It's a 40-page comic book for $5.99. So definitely the story, the idea of the story makes you think like The Walking Dead, where there's very few human communities and essentially the world has gone down quickly and very post-apocalyptic. It is a little bit different with, it looks like some science fiction here, but I like the idea of a one-shot all contained in one story. It looks like it is color, so I hope they do well with this. And I'm going to give this Last Goodbye comic a shot and see how it goes.
My next pick is on page 327 of the Diamond Previews, and it's the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide, Volume 54, from Gemstone Publishing. Now, I get this every year, have since, I think, like the 13th or 14th volume of this. And it's a great reference on what comics have been published, what their current values are. There's also a lot of information on kind of the state of the industry every year, some good historical information and whatnot. It's got a lot more than just prices that some people feel are instantly out of date. And in fairness, this day and age probably are, because really, a comic is only worth what people are going to pay for it and stuff. Now, there are multiple versions of this. There's hardcovers, there's softcovers, there's big print editions, there's different covers. This year, the different covers are Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Lady Death, She, and The Shadow. Given it's the 40th anniversary of the Turtles, I'm going to go ahead and pick that one up because I think it's cool. And again, this is a good reference book. I don't think most people need to get it necessarily every year. I mean, I have been, but me. But if you've never checked one out, go to your local bookstore or your local library. Take a look at it. See if it's something that you get some value out of or not. Because again, it's not for everybody. Certainly for the super casual comic reader and stuff, you probably don't need it. But if you're interested in the big picture of the industry and the hobby and stuff, or you're big into what is the value of comics and stuff, this is a great reference, particularly if you've got multiple versions of it. And you can see how things kind of arc in their prices and stuff, where it's like, hey, it comes out, it goes super hot, it cools off, or it goes up again because a new series is supporting the property, or drops off because it's a 12-issue series that ended and people have forgotten about it. being able to see those kinds of trends and stuff, this is, again, a great reference for that. So, once again, that's the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide, Volume 54, on page 327 of the Diamond Previews.
Hey, this is James back with my final pick, and this time I'm in the Humanoids section over on page 335, where there is a comic, or not a comic, it's a graphic novel called Sin, but spelled C-Y-N, not S-I-N. It's not about sinning, per se. John and I did I believe it was a back issue spotlight a long time ago by a creator who was on this book. This is written, and the art and the writer is Ibrahim Mustafa. And I think it was this retroactive comic that's being solicited on this page. John and I did a review on that, and we both really liked it. So when I saw he was the creator on this Sin, I was like, okay, I got to give this a try. It is a mashup of genres. It is a sci-fi western. You look at the picture, you got a girl carrying a katana, blood dripping off of it, other people with katanas. So it's weird. It's a weird mix-up. There's going to be some science fiction, but these people apparently are fighting with swords. And they give you a one-line pitch, Terminator 2 meets Unforgiven. That sounds awesome. 128 pages, $19.99. It's not bad. It is a mature title. It says, fleeing her bloody past as the masked government enforcer known as Sin, Maris is discovered unconscious by a former Union medic and his two adopted daughters. As they nurse her back to health and she struggles to adapt to a world far from the brutal life she was forced to lead as Sin, two things become clear. Her past isn't ready to let her go, and she isn't the only one whose dark secret history is threatening to destroy their present. This sounds really fun. It says it's for fans of Firefly, Watch How I Soar, Cyberpunk 2077, I love that game, Count, and the Fury sidekicks that steal the show and your heart. They have interior art, looks fantastic. The fights look brutal, and brutal, not like overly gory for John, but it does look, you know, intense. This sounds like it's right up my alley. I'm kind of excited to read this. Maybe something, I don't know if John's taken a flyer on things, but it's from a creator that we actually really enjoyed in the past. He might take a flyer on this. I don't know. I'm going to pick it up. I'm excited for this. I wanted to also say, one, thank you for the four catalogs. We now have an IDW catalog, because the more catalogs they send out, the more comics we buy. I'm just kidding. It's baffling. I'm waiting for Dark Horse to come out with its own catalog, which I heard rumor of. So soon we'll be getting five catalogs. Image still has a PDF catalog. I'm waiting for Image to start printing their catalog. I'm waiting for the day when I get five catalogs. It makes ordering so much easier when you got to thumb through five catalogs, find stuff on an order form. I say all this in jest because I miss the days of Diamond. One catalog, the order forms, everything synced up. Everything has gone crazy since Diamond kind of went away. Everyone complained, but things were a heck of a lot easier. But I did want to say thank you to everyone who sent in a clip. I'm hoping, and I'm going to put a message on the Slack as soon as I'm done recording this, that we get some new voices, maybe some old voices. I want to say thank you to Drew. Drew, you sent in some clips, and from Comics and Fun and Profit, he and his brother sent in a clip. And I think that was really cool because Drew used to send in clips all the time, and he was joking around me. He's like, I just get busy and lazy, and I understand that. But I really do appreciate it, Drew, because I do like your picks. I listen to stuff that you like. I don't always buy it, but sometimes I do. I want to just see more people and get a plethora of opinions and thoughts out there, because there are things that, like, for example, Nick's picks, he likes some things that maybe I don't like, and then he likes some things I do like. And the things that maybe he pointed out, or Jason Zeller, he pointed out that maybe I wouldn't have picked up, I picked it up. Just literally on the last episode of Previews, thank you, Brawlinator, for sending in your clip, too. Brawlinator sent in a clip on a Western, which was something from MBM Publishing that I totally breezed past. I went back. I literally bought that because of his clip. And that happens routinely. So I really do listen to the Preview Spotlight. If you guys point things out, sometimes I pick it up. But if you don't, you're going to stop people from buying things. So your voice needs to be heard. I want to see more voices heard. And I just want to thank everyone. I want to thank John for hosting this. I want to thank John for editing because he makes us sound better. And I'm looking forward to hearing from all of you guys on the Slack channel. And don't forget, with this monthly comic spotlight that we have coming up, I don't know when this Previews is coming out, but I think it's before the monthly comes out. Please, please, guys, send in questions every month for the monthly comic spotlight, because those are a lot of fun when you guys do send in questions where John and I can just ramble and chit-chat about things. Honestly, if you give us good questions, they turn into a whole round table and a separate episode, which is kind of fun. Well, talk to you guys later. See you guys on Book Club. See you on the Slack. And until next time, take care. Bye.
This is Jason, and my next pick in the previews catalog on page 346 is Dracula Unfanged by Christopher Segura. It says Christopher Segura, who devised the cross-dimensional Baker Street collection, Sherlock Holmes, and Dr. Was Not, which was actually in the previews last month, invites you to another collection of multiverse-jumping tales about a literary icon, this time Count Dracula, with stories by some of the best in the field. Enter freely and of your own will. It's a 338-page prose anthology for $18.99. So I like these, you know, classic characters. Sherlock Holmes is definitely a big favorite character of mine. And then this month, it looks like they're doing Dracula, who's also another character that's one of my favorites. And I like how, just like Batman, for example, he does well pretty much in any time period. You know, the character of Dracula, pretty much wherever story you put him into, it seems to work. So I look forward to seeing this and see what these different authors come up with. Highly recommend this if you are a Dracula fan. Jason again on page 351 of the previews catalog from Mad Cave Comics. It's Defenders of the Earth trade paperback. It says the legendary miniseries is collected for the first time. Sci-fi legend Flash Gordon must team up with Phantom, Mandrake the Magician, and the super strong Lothar to defend planet Earth against the dark forces of Ming the Merciless. Luckily, they'll get some help from the next generation of heroes, their children. Collects issues 1 through 4 of the original 1987 run from Star Comics. So Star Comics were some comics in the early to mid 80s, and it looks like this particular series was in 1987, and it was supposed to be an ongoing. And I think at the end of issue 4, there was a, you know, next time or, you know, next issue teaser, but there never was a fifth issue. I definitely like the Phantom and Mandrake the Magician, who always made me think of Zatara from the DC Universe. And Star Comics has like a fond place in my heart because they did a early 80s series of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe and really had some, you know, some pretty good thought-provoking stories. Unfortunately, those never got reprinted, so I am hoping that eventually that they will, because the secondary market is pretty expensive right now to get those. So I'm glad they're reprinting this. It was definitely a fun, you know, 1980s Marvel series, and it looks like the first issue was written by Stan Lee. Later on, it looks like Bob Harris and Michael Higgins took over. So I highly recommend this if you are a fan of Flash Gordon, the Phantom, or Mandrake the Magician.
Alright, Brawlinator again. For my next to last pick, this one is really all nostalgia for me. I first saw Gatchaman when it was called Battle of the Planets, or G-Force. I think it was Battle of the Planets was the animated series back in the late 70s, 1979, I guess. I love the concept. I love the look of that Japanese import. I literally watched it every day. And from what I've seen since, it really didn't follow the plot of the original Gatchaman. It was called Gatchaman, the Japanese version, but when they imported it here to the U.S., they really kind of changed the storyline a little bit and didn't use all the episodes because the original was a little bit grittier, I think. And that's sort of what I'm interested in looking at here. I know that there have been some ongoings for Gatchaman before, or maybe it was called Battle of the Planets, but this is Mad Cave Studios, which I really was surprised to see. It's over on page 352, and you can see a few of the variant covers on page 352 and learn a little bit more about it there. I will point out that on 353, that cover C, that is the almost a precise artwork style of the original animated series that I watched. This is written by Cullen Bunn with art by Chris Batista, and it comes out June the 26th. The way that the U.S. did it, they included some R2-D2 type character, I think, to sort of play along with Star Wars. It was sort of the Star Wars was the zeitgeist of the time, and everybody wanted their own Star Wars-like property. But this is a science ninja team. So they battle giant mecha machines, you know, from international terrorist organization known as Galactor. And it's a five-member bird-themed superhero team. If you are familiar with Battle of the Planets, you're going to recognize this instantly. I think I even had one of those metal lunch boxes. But they are also putting out a one-shot with one of the characters, Ken, from Gotchaman, on the next page if you want to check it out. Mad Cave is going all in on a few licensed properties, and I think they're also doing Dick Tracy, which you can click through and take a look at as well. But this is the first issue. It's a number one. It's Gotchaman number one from Cullen Bunn, Chris Bautista. I'm definitely going to check this out. It is geared towards Teen Plus, so I'm hoping this will be much closer to the original, grittier version that I never got to see. So that's why I'm interested, and maybe you will be too. Gotchaman number one, page 352 in the Mad Cave section of previews this month.
G-Force, fearless young orphans protecting Earth's entire galaxy. Always five, acting as one. Dedicated, inseparable, invincible.
My next pick is also on page 352 of the Diamond Previews, and it is also Gotchaman number one of the ongoing series by Mad Cave. Now, a little surprised Mad Cave is getting these properties and stuff. Honestly, I'm a little surprised it's their 10th anniversary, too, but I'm glad they're doing it, and I'm looking forward to it. This is as close to a Super Sentai series as you can get without being an actual Super Sentai series. You got the five people, you got the colored costumes, you've got the various vehicles and stuff that form into a larger thing. It's got so many of the hallmarks of Super Sentai and whatnot, yet it is its own thing. I watched Battle of the Planets as a kid. There have been a number of other kind of Gatchaman things, animated, computer animated and whatnot, over in Japan since then. I have not watched most or all of them and whatnot, but what I have seen has been very enjoyable. And Dynamite did a run of this, I think it was maybe 10, 15 years ago, maybe a little longer. It's a great property, ton of fun, definitely recommend it, and I'm looking forward to what Mad Cave is going to do with it. So once again, that's Gotchaman number one on page 352 of the Diamond Previews.
This is Nick with a pick from the Mad Cave Studios section of previews. Dick Tracy number two. They do point out this is ongoing, even though it's been a little while since we had the first one solicited. Writer is Alex Segura with Michael Marecki. Artist is Geraldo Borges. And the solicitation here says, "The saga of Dick Tracy continues in a new ongoing series for Mad Cave. Dick Tracy, the iconic yellow-clad detective, returns in a must-read noir reimagining from writers Alex Segura and Michael Marecki and artist Geraldo Borges. As the city reels from the events of the Green Eye Diner, Dick Tracy must try and piece together the clues to not only discover the gunman behind the slaughter, but the man who gave the order. Who could the new player be, and how does intrepid reporter Tess Trueheart fit in? A gritty, hard-boiled tale that honors everything fans love about Dick Tracy, with an unforgettable twist. Don't miss the series everyone is buzzing about. $4.99, 28 pages on sale in June."
Brawlinator again, and for my final pick, I am over on page 393, and I think maybe this has been solicited before. I know I've seen something. It's been around for a while, because this is sort of like the 35th anniversary of this series, but it's called Slain the Horned God. They've got a trade paperback edition on the same page for half price, but they have this really awesome-looking slipcase hardcover edition. Is written by Pat Mills, painted art by Simon Bisley, who I bet a lot of you would know who Simon Bisley is, did just outstanding work on Lobo back when Lobo really caught fire several years ago. But this was one of the most popular stories ever published in the pages of 2000 AD, and it's Celtic mythology, extreme violence, beautiful artwork. I mean, anybody who's into sword and sorcery is going to love this. It's one of the best-selling graphic novels of all time. and was very influential too, very evocative of things like Frank Frazetta, Gustav Klimt. And this is a deluxe edition, going back to ancient lands, the druids, gods and goddesses. Slane is sort of your Conan-like figure in this. I just think the artwork is beautiful. I think I had one or two copies of this back in the day, so I know not a whole lot about the mythology involved, but I would like to check it out. I don't know if I'm going to go for the slipcase edition, because, you know, it's $100 or a little over $100 in the catalog. Yeah, I'm sure I could get that at close to half price through Cowabunga or Deep Discount Comics through our friend Eric Helweg, friend of the show. But I did want to point it out because I know we got a lot of Sword and Sorcery readers, fans here at Comic Book Page Community. So I wanted to bring that up. It's Slane the Horned God, the Anniversary Collector's Edition, page 393 of this month's previews. And that's it for me. Thanks again, of course, to John and James, as well as Sam, Eric, Kay, everybody else that helps make the Comic Book Page podcast so entertaining and the Slack channel so engaging. I say it every month. It's a great community. I encourage others to join in on the discussions, to submit their own solicitation picks every month. You can do it with your phone. And I just hope everybody's going to have a great summer ahead, and I look forward to hearing your selections this month. Thanks, guys.
Billy Hogan again. My final pick comes in the back half of previews on page 400 from Tomorrow's Publishing with Alter Ego number 189, featuring various writers and artists, and the cover is drawn by John Romita Sr. Alter Ego is a titanic and well-deserved tribute to the late, great John Romita, featuring a transcript of a podcast recorded shortly after the Jazzy One's passing, featuring John Romita Jr., Jim Starlin, Steve Englehart, Brian Polito, Roy Thomas, Jamie Jameson, John Cimino, Steve Houston, and Niall Scala, plus David Armstrong's Con mini interview with John Romita and John Cimino on John's 10 Greatest Hits, with FCA, which stands for Fawcett Collectors of America, Minster Monsters Comic Crypt, and more. Scheduled to be in shops on August 21st, for the cover price of $10.95. John Romita Sr. died last year at the age of 93. He's probably most famous known as being the second Spider-Man artist, taking over after co-creator and original artist Steve Ditko left. His first Spider-Man issue was 39, and my first issue that I remember having was number 42, which on the last panel reveals Mary Jane Watson for the first time. Now, she did appear in previous issues, first in The Amazing Spider-Man issued number 25, but her face was always obscured by something in the foreground, and it wasn't until the last panel of issue 42 that we saw her face for the first time. Another issue from that era done by John Romita Sr. that I had was issue number 58, which featured J. Jonah Jameson and the Spider Slayer robots. And these robots first appeared in Spider-Man comic books during Steve Ditko's run. So I could not resist picking up this issue of Alter Ego magazine to read about one of my favorite comic book artists, especially with The Amazing Spider-Man. Thank you, John, for providing this forum so that we can all share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium. And I look forward to listening to what everyone else is planning on reading out of this month's previews.
Jason again with my next pick on page 401 of the previews catalog. From Tomorrow's Publishing, it's Marvel Comics in the Early 1960s. This new volume in the ongoing Marvel Comics in the ... series takes you all the way back to that company's legendary beginnings when gunfighters travel the West and monsters roam the Earth. The company's output in other genres influenced the development of their superhero characters from Thor to Spider-Man, and featured here are the best of those stories not covered previously, completing issue-by-issue reviews of every Marvel comic of note from 1961 to 1965. Present are scores of handy, easy-to-reference entries on Amazing Fantasy, Tales of Suspense, Tales to Astonish, Strange Tales, Journey into Mystery, Rawhide Kid, plus issues of Fantastic Four, Avengers, Amazing Spider-Man, and others that weren't in the previous 1960s edition. Its author, Pierre Comtois' last word on Marvel's early years when Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, and Don Heck, together with writer-slash-editor Stan Lee and brother Larry Lieber, built an unprecedented new universe of excitement. So this was kind of interesting. The other three books were Marvel Comics in the 1960s, Marvel Comics in the 1970s, and Marvel Comics in the 1980s. And it mainly just focused in on the superhero, you know, when Marvel Universe started. And it looks like this one goes a little bit beyond that, a little before that. And the particular character on the cover looks like it might be Fing Fang Foom, or at least his outline. So that's pretty interesting. It is a very detailed history, certainly not for everybody, and definitely falls under the comic history subject. But I really enjoy these, and I'm hoping to get some good information on, you know, that was early 1960s when Jack Kirby and Stan Lee and Steve Ditko and those guys were really trying to get Marvel Comics off the ground. Jason, with my last pick in the Marvel Previews catalog on M37 in the Toys and Games section, it's Batman 1966 Batmobile 1/25th scale Polar Light Snap Model Kit from the company Round 2. Rev up your Bat fan excitement with the 1966 Batmobile 1/25th scale Snap Kit. This skill level 2 model requires no paint or cement, authentically capturing every detail of the iconic TV car designed by George Barris. Molded in sleek black, the kit includes pre-painted PVC figures and features a glossy body with red striping. Assemble this classic Batmobile effortlessly and relive the nostalgia of the 1966 TV series with this brilliantly detailed and easily assembled model kit for $29.99. So definitely enjoyed putting together model kits when I was younger, a little bit with my father. And I hope to be able to get this and put it together with my son. It is nostalgic for me a bit because I was about 9 years old when the first Batman Michael Keaton movie came out. And there just wasn't enough Batman for me to read or to watch. And I could only watch that movie so many times on VHS. But at some point, I was able to see the 1966 series. And though I know it wasn't the same Batman, it was a little bit campy and over the top. I definitely enjoyed that. And it helped kind of submerge me into the Batman lore a bit. So definitely some nostalgia here for me. Looks like there's other Batmobiles and other model kits on this page as well. So I highly recommend this if you are a fan of model kits and of the Batman 1966 series.
The year is 2029. The AI known as Skynet sees its inevitable defeat at the hands of the resistance leader, John Connor. In a last-ditch effort to eliminate the human threat, it sent an unstoppable cyborg killing machine back in time to eliminate his mother, Sarah Connor. This is the story of the chronological war against the machines. This is The Terminator.
This is Marvin, also known as Viking Joker, and I'm not in a catalog. I'm over on backerkit.com, and I'm looking at the Terminator 40th Anniversary Graphic Novel Collections. There are three volumes collecting a variety of issues, a variety of series throughout the Terminator history. Everybody knows Terminator in the movies, right? The movie franchise is iconic. You know, some of them not as good as others, but for sure those first two classics for me from my youth. And I remember going to that first movie, not really knowing enough about it, not knowing much about it at all, and just having my young mind blown because it was just such a cool movie. I don't know, just so much going on in that movie with Arnold. And yeah, just such a great movie. I don't know. I haven't read the comics, to be honest with you, so I don't know about this material. I've only read maybe a handful of Terminator comics. Doesn't really seem like they've gotten quite as much play, say, out there in the comic book world as, say, something like Predator, which seems to be more present, having more history maybe. But there's quite a bit out here in the comic book world. So let's go back to this. We have three collections, and they're offering them in three different formats. So you can get a soft cover, you can get a hard cover, or you can get a metal jacketed cover. Again, three volumes, three different formats, three different price points, obviously, when you look at that. You can get the trade paperbacks for $35 each, or collected all three of them for $90. The hardcovers are $45 each, or $120 for a collection for all three. And the metal jacketed limited edition hardcovers are $150 each. I'm sorry, $150 each, and that comes out to $450 for all three of those. Pretty pricey. That one does. If you do buy that big set, you also get a slipcase with that. So I don't think that's where I'm going to pull the trigger. I think I'm over at the $120 level, which is the hardcover version. All three, as I mentioned, this covers a lot of material. I looked at a Wikipedia page for Terminator comics, and I'm not positive it includes everything. If you watch that whole video that I played you a little bit of at the top of this clip, it talks about it being a chronological storytelling, so it's supposed to be in a good order for reading, but I'm not positive it includes everything, to be honest with you. This is what it does include, and it's quite a bit. Terminator One-Shot, Terminator Sector Wars 1 through 4, Terminator 84 1 through 3, Terminator 1990, parentheses Tempest, 1 through 4. Terminator Secondary Objectives 1 through 4, Terminator The Enemy Within 1 through 4, Terminator Endgame 1 through 3, Terminator 1998 One-Shot, Terminator Death Valley, Terminator Dark Years 1 through 4, Terminators Hunters and Killers 1 through 3, Terminator Suicide Run from Dark Horse Presents number 138, so that's probably a little shorty, because 138, or sorry, for us, DHP, Dark Horse Presents is an anthology, and if it's only enlisting one issue, then it was probably just a little short story. Terminator 2029 1 through 3, Terminator Burning Earth 1 through 5. There are some sample pages here, you know, decent art. It is from a variety of creatives, so you're not going to get one consistent story probably throughout. But it is supposed to be in, like I said, chronological order, a good reading order, and I'm probably going to pick it up at the hardcover level. $150 seems like the best way to go. Wait, $150? Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to check it out. Maybe you will, too. This is the Terminator 40th Anniversary Graphic Novel Collections over on Backer Kit. I have to check myself a little bit there. At the very end, I mentioned that the collection I'm getting with the hardcover collection of three volumes at $150. It's not. It's $120. I don't know how to edit my clip, so I'm not even going to try. I'm just adding on here at the end.
I hope everybody found something of interest in the pre-order catalogs this month. I want to thank the various people who sent in clips of James, Jason, Brawlinator, Billy, Marvin, Patrick, and Nicholas. This is part of the regular crew. We didn't have any new voices this month, and I'll be honest, I'm a little disappointed in that. I really do want to get more people involved in these episodes, even if you just send in a clip every other month or whatever. You don't need to send in half a dozen or whatnot, but there's got to be something in the catalogs that you're excited about and you think other people should be too. I'm trying to give you guys a platform to do this. Please take advantage of it. It's a great way to share your love of comics, get more involved in the community, and honestly sell other people on the comics so it sells better, it sticks around longer. I mean, it's good for everybody. Now, the July 2024 previews is just a few months away. And again, I've had the goal for the last few months, as I've mentioned, to get more listeners involved by then. And that could determine if these episodes continue or not. These episodes are fairly popular to listen to. I just can't figure out why they're not more popular to participate in. And if there's anything I can do to make it easier, reach out and let me know, because I do want to get more voices and opinions in these episodes. We've got an open submission policy. Anybody could submit. I don't know that I've ever really turned down any clips. I'm trying to think if I ever have. Maybe one or two, but even that, I don't think I have. Anyways, if you are a writer, an artist, a publisher, a publicist of comics, you're welcome to send stuff in too. This is a way to promote your books and stuff. And again, I really love it when the actual readers of the comics get so excited about a comic that they can't help but share that information with other people. And again, there's so many things out there that I'd really love to get more information about some of these, because that may determine if I get it or not. And I'm in the process of kind of culling what I'm reading, but also looking for, frankly, I don't want to say better things to replace it, but things I'm more excited about to replace them. And I need your help to do that. So please, participate in these episodes. Sending in a clip is as easy as recording it on your computer or smartphone and sharing it with me through the Dropbox link I make every month or via email and stuff. It's, in this day and age, so easy to do. And again, a single clip is fine. I just want to hear from more people and get more voices involved in this. The deadline for the preview spotlight is the second Saturday of every month. You can always check the main page of the comicbookpage.com website for the latest information on the next deadline and to sign up for email reminders if you'd like them. Now, the deadline for the next preview spotlight, number 198, is going to be May 11th at 9 a.m. Central Time. If you need a little bit more time than that, just reach out and let me know so I know it's coming. Because really, it comes down to what time Saturday morning do I get to my computer and get to working on it and stuff. But I'm willing to give you a little more time, sometimes as much as the next day or whatever, if I know it is coming, to get more voices involved and such. So please get engaged, get involved, and send in a clip as often as you can. With that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.